We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
It's Joe Benigno and Evan Roberts on The Fan.
Joe and Evan. Evan and Joe. Pop. On WFAN Sports Radio.
Friday, baby, and it is the midday show. Benigno and Roberts, Joe with another off day. He returns Monday, and then I go on vacation, baby. Going to the beach. We are broadcasting live from the Black Bear Studio. Delicious Black Bear Deli meats and cheeses are only at ShopRite. Ernie and I get a vacation from Dove Kramer today because he's not here, and Matt Casey will be doing an admirable job filling in. Ernie is here. You're here. We'll talk a lot of football as the show rolls on. Three football spots. Paul Dottino to preview Giants-Bears. Brian Costello to look back at last night's Jet victory over the Atlanta Falcons. And we'll talk to Dave Richard on fantasy. Let me start with the Yankees real quick. We'll get to the Yankees and Mets here at the top of the show. Here's what I found fascinating about last night. Look, nights like that are going to happen. Sometimes you're going to get blown out. Sometimes it's going to get really, really bad. It got really bad. The Indians blew them out. They won 19-5. Obviously, the score wasn't that bad, but once you go to a position player to pitch, once Mike Ford comes in and he's laughing and having a good time and he gives up five more runs, obviously the score is going to get a little bit out of whack. But the game was over in the first two innings. Even with the Yankee offense, when you're down 9-1 in the bottom of the second inning, the odds are you're not going to win. But here's what I found fascinating. Every time the Yankees use an opener, and they've used it many times this year to great success, I wonder about what we saw last night, because what we saw last night was Chad Green being awful, and Chad Green has not been awful when he's been used as an opener. So if this was the postseason and you're facing the Cleveland Indians in game, let's say, 4 of the American League Divisional Series, or it's game 3 of the American League Divisional Series, and you have decided that Chad Green is your opener. Now, obviously, the second guy you use would probably not be Jonathan Loaisiga. Maybe it's CC Sabathia. Maybe it's Jay Happ. Maybe it's James Paxton. Maybe it's Luis Severin. Whoever it is, I think we'd agree it's probably not Loaisiga. But you open the game with Chad Green. And Chad Green gives up a leadoff hit to Francisco Lindor. Line drive. Clean hit. And then he gives up a base hit to Greg Allen. And then after a long, long at-bat, he walks Carlos Santana. So your opener has now put the bases loaded with nobody out. What do you do? Now, I don't think last night is an indicator at all of what Aaron Boone would do. I'm asking, what would he do? Because that's what makes the opener to me so difficult and so tricky. The Yankees have used it a lot this year, and it's been fine. Chad Green pitches a scoreless inning. Maybe he gets an out or two in the second. Then you go to your next guy, and you're off to the races. But what if what happens last night happens in the playoffs? You're not going to your next pitcher with bases loaded, nobody out. Are you going to Luis Severino with bases loaded, nobody out? Are you going to Jay Happ with bases loaded, nobody out? Or are you really going to stick with Chad Green? Now, last night, Chad Green strikes out Yasiel Puig. Oh, okay. All right, maybe you give him a chance to get through it. And then Jose Ramirez, who looks like a completely different baseball player since the last time the Yankees saw him, hits a grand slam. And then they keep him in the game. And he gets another hitter. And Jason Kipnis hits a home run. Now it's 5-0, and the opener has been a disaster. And again, for last night, it's not a big deal. Not suggesting it is. The Yankees are still running away with the East. They still have the best record in the American League. To me, I'm not analyzing this based on last night. I'm analyzing it based on, what do you do in the playoffs? This opener thing is tricky. The Yankees have made it look easy because it's worked. But what if it doesn't? Who are you going to? And when are you going to them in the first inning if Chad Green runs into trouble? I mean, think about it. Last night's a playoff game. These are the guys you're facing. In fact, there's a decent chance this is the exact team you're going to be facing in an American League Divisional Series. When do you pull the trigger? Are you doing it with bases loaded, nobody out? You want my answer? I'll tell you right now. I'm doing it after you walk Santana. Right then and there, I'm not messing around. I am not letting my opener ruin a baseball game for me. Now, is that what Aaron Boone is going to do, potentially? And we may never find out the answer because, A, they may not use an opener, and, B, if they do use an opener, they may not run into any kind of trouble. It may go swimmingly where Chad Green pitches a scoreless inning. Because if your next arm is a traditional starter, the odds are you're not going to go to them with guys on base. You're probably going to go to another reliever. You're probably going to go to Tommy Canley. Let's be honest, or you may even go to Adam Ottavino. You may go to one of your better late-inning relievers in the first inning to make sure the game doesn't get out of whack. And that is why, or one of the reasons, not the only reason, but one of the concerns that I think it's fair to have about the opener. Last night was not managed like a playoff game, nor should it. But what if it was? When are you pulling that trigger on Chad Green, and who are you going to in a spot like bases loaded, nobody out? Because watching that first inning, that's how I was thinking. I was thinking along the lines of, let's make believe this is the playoffs. What would I do? And I'm just giving you my call. I think after Santana gives you that battle of an at-bat, it was a long at-bat, he's fouling a ton of pitches off, I think at that point, I'm saying, all right, I'm getting him the hell out of here. I can't mess around. I mean, it was just a lost night, though. I mean, obviously, the bullpen after that did not pitch all that well. And the Yankees gave up a ton of runs. Jonathan Loaisiga didn't pitch well. Chance Adams really took one for the team, put 13 guys on base in 3 2/3 innings. And then you had the Mike Ford experiment in the 8th and 9th inning when Aaron Boone rightfully so said, look, this game's over. I don't want to waste any bullpen arms. Kid pitched in Princeton many years ago. Even though Mike Ford appeared to treat it like it was a joke, he had a big smile on his face. He was able to get the 6 outs. They got out of there. They lost to the Indians. Not the end of the world. But it certainly makes you think about how this would work in a postseason situation. As far as the Mets are concerned, that's what it was. It was a deep breath game. A game they needed to win. As much as you need to win a game in August, they needed to win that game. A 4-game losing streak. A sweep at the hands of the Atlanta Braves after a brutal Game 2 loss. They needed it last night. And even though it got dicey in the 9th inning, which I'll get into, the offense showed up in a big way. And I thought the tone of this game was set by Ahmed Rosario, who is in the leadoff spot, should probably remain the leadoff hitter until Jeff McNeil comes back. He's obviously been hitting the tar out of the ball over the last 2 months. He's raised his average all the way up to about .290. He has been so productive. He looks like a completely different hitter. And I thought the very first at-bat of this game, an 8-pitch at-bat against Julio Teheran, completely set the tone as he ripped that double. And then Joe Panik comes through. And then Pete Alonso, his first of 5 base hits. And this one was a bomb, the 3-run home run that goes into the pool. And Stroman was tough to watch because Marcus Stroman threw a ton of pitches early in this game. It felt like he was nibbling. That's how I would define Marcus Stroman as a Met so far. Just a lot of nibbling. A lot of it. But he was able to at least get them into the 6th inning before they handed it to the bullpen. The Met offense showed up. They took advantage of Julio Teheran's inability to throw strikes in that 2nd inning when he walked 3 consecutive hitters. I think 2 of them were on 4 pitches, but then Michael Conforto worked the walk. Wilson Ramos came through with an RBI single. Todd Frazier's hitting a home run behind in the count on 0-2. Pete Alonso's coming through with a big 2-out hit in the 5th inning. And the Mets kept piling it on. And this is why piling it on is so important. Because when you're facing an offense as good as the Atlanta Braves and you've got a bullpen like the New York Mets, it is never enough. When it was 9-2 and it was the 6th inning and J.D. Davis appeared to hit a home run and Ronald Acuna Jr. not only made the leaping catch but then trolled all of us by sitting on the ground and not doing anything for a good 5 seconds before he casually said, hey, I got the baseball. I was frustrated because in my mind, even at a score of 9-2, I want more. It's never enough. Not only because you want to pummel the Atlanta Braves, but because in this day and age in baseball where runs are just flying on the board and you've got a bullpen like the Mets, I'm not taking anything for granted. And look what we saw in the ninth inning. We saw Drew Gagneau, who reminded you that he's a AAA player, give up not one, not two, not three, but four freaking home runs. And he only faced 11 batters. So a third of the batters he's facing, taking them deep. Now, normally I would be annoyed that the Mets had to waste Edwin Diaz. And I had mentioned this about the Yankees, that the only negative you could take out of the Orioles series is that Luis Cessa's badness had caused Aaron Boone to have to go to Adam Ottavino, go to Zach Britton, go to Aroldis Chapman, and you don't want to waste those bullets. Edwin Diaz is such a mess right now that, first of all, I don't look at him as a bullet, okay? I mean, what's he doing? He's been awful for a long time now. So it's not as if, even with Lugo's bad performance, I look at him in terms of Seth Lugo, where you really need to save any time you use him. But I also look for any good moment Edwin Diaz can have as a possible turning point on what's been a dreadful season. And so after Donaldson hits the home run and makes it a save situation, makes it a 10-8 game, and Mickey says, all right, I got to go to Edwin Diaz, and he promptly walks Brian McCann on four pitches, and then I think threw ball one to Ender Inciarte. So five straight out of the zone. I mean, we're all fearing the worst, thinking, you got to be kidding me. They can't really blow this. They can't blow a six-run lead in the ninth inning. Is that possible? And then we're going to start to say, why did he keep Drew Gagneau in so long? How many home runs did he have to give up before you take him out? But ultimately, we'd obviously be crushing Edwin Diaz. But to Edwin Diaz's credit, and I think it was three straight sliders, he threw him and struck out Ender Inciarte. And the hope that I have and the hope that you should have is that maybe, just maybe, on this Thursday night in Atlanta, Georgia, Edwin Diaz gave you the mediocre performance that's just going to change everything. And that now we can see the real Edwin Diaz, the guy who dominated in Seattle last year. I'm not hopeful of that. I don't think it's going to happen. But anytime he comes in and it ends with something somewhat positive, and striking out Inciarte to end the game certainly qualifies as a something positive, the hope is, okay, now he can step up and be the guy the Mets thought he was when they traded for him to begin with. But they get a nice, big, much-needed victory against the Atlanta Braves. And now it's on to Kansas City, where they must take care of business against a bad Kansas City Royal team.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.